Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You were there. You were witness to history, Mr. David. We heard you do your tribute to Zach there, throwing it to Pat and Ron to start the game. I believe there was a late inning cackle in the background
Might
at one
been.
Point
as Might
I listened. And what a night. What a great performance on your part, and it must have been thrilling for you to witness it as you did.
Thanks, Molly. Good morning. Happy Friday. And it was quite a night to be at Wrigley Field to watch from your living room or bar room, or to be there in person. This was what the Cubs really have been waiting for a long time. It seems like it's been longer than 8 years, but it has been a long 8 years since they celebrated a playoff series victory. And last night, I do think that it was one of those times where you look at a team and however they got there, now you do hit reset and now you do wonder about what's next and how good they can be, how far can they go. It is the playoffs, but this is a team that believes in itself. And as you heard, I think Mike Schilt was right on. This team is about pitching and defense. And those teams are hard to eliminate. Yeah. But last night was a memorable one, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it was. I really thought that they were going to blow it open early. I wish Michael Bush's home run had come in the first inning. But
Darvish didn't have it.
No, he didn't
Darvish
have it.
Did not
he
have
didn't
it.
Come close. He got through the first inning.
He looked like he was lacking command. And he looked like a guy, frankly, with due respect, that we have seen here when he was a Cub. He could really be lights out and filthy when he had his stuff working. But sometimes when he didn't have it, he couldn't find it.
He looked old, frankly.
He looked all of 39.
Yeah. No
and
doubt about
Mike Schilt had no patience.
No, well, messing around time. I honest to God, though, bases loaded, you walk in a run, and then you're sitting there thinking, well, they scored a run, then they pulled you, then they walked in a run, and you're thinking, oh, this is going to be over immediately.
You thought that, and then when they didn't make that happen, when they kept it to just a 2-run lead, you wondered if that was one of those things in October where you see the team that staves off the rally and holds off that momentum is going to be the team that takes advantage later because they stopped the bleeding. And when Jeremiah Estrada came in, the former Cub pitcher, and he really did his job. He really was a high leverage situation early in the game for a guy that is usually a late inning reliever. I started to wonder if, now this is going to be something that they're going to regret not getting more than 2 runs.
Yeah, it did occur to me a couple times, but they completely shut down the Padres. And they did it as much through defense as they did through
through pounding the ball or anything like that. The pitching was great, but man, the defense was great.
It's a story of the Cubs season, really.
Dansby Swanson and Nico Horner, man, what an infield.
Dansby Swanson with the unassisted double play, or he stepped on second, then he threw to first for the double play.
Yep.
Nico Horner with the snow cone catch, the liner at second, and you saw PCA doing things out there like he normally does. And when you're that strong up the middle, it is a baseball cliche for a reason. When you're that strong up the middle defensively, you're going to have a shot. So it is about pitching and defense. And the Cubs' bats, you hope that now they can come to life because pitching and defense carried them through that first series.
Did you? What did you think of the postgame celebration? It seemed a little bit muted compared to the earlier
one. I'll say this, Molly, in full disclosure, you know I was in the booth and I was doing the postgame show when Bruce was everywhere, and yes, it was great. And it was unbelievable to see the kind of respect that these players show Bruce Levine, and it was terrific.
Yep.
But my vantage point was I saw what was going on the field right after the game.
Yes.
And then all I could see from inside the clubhouse, so to speak, was on the screens, and I was doing a lot of different things at once, so I didn't get a good sense until later about the celebration. So in real time, I felt like it was a little bit more muted because on the field, people were very more emotional than exuberant. You know what I mean? They were hugging. They were satisfied. It was a relief, and there was joy, but I don't know. What I saw later, it looked like they cut loose pretty good in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the I synced up again, so I was following you, and I remembered not to touch the TV or talk to Alexa.
Alexa.
Yeah,
Alexa did not enjoy the game. You did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was very much.
But I think that
a winner for me.
Did you? What sense did you get? Because you guys watched it happen.
Well, you could see them partying, but I didn't feel like. Maybe it didn't last longer than I – do you know what
That's
I mean?
That's the thing.
I felt like it was a half hour to 45 minutes and done.
And when I heard – and when we heard – boy, I was asking how long the postgame was. I think it was about an hour or so. But Bruce got to everybody.
Oh,
he got to
God.
Nico. He got to Kittredge. He got to Cade Horton.
Jed.
Yeah, Jed and
– Council.
Craig Council. And
it's
I felt
incredible.
Like listening to the tone of their – responses and their reaction, it did feel like it was over the top.
Right.
It felt like this is a group of guys who understood how difficult it was to win a playoff series in October, who aren't done yet, but are going to enjoy this while they can because they know that's a short period of time because today they head to Milwaukee for a workout tonight and a game tomorrow.
Shirtless Justin Turner was all over my screen.
I saw
and that, he was quickly there.
I saw that text later from you, and I giggled because I didn't see it at first, and I wondered what I missed because shirtless Justin Turner was apparently all over the place.
He was apparently in the shower when the celebration started.
Listen, Molly.
The fastest undressed man known to humans.
Better the shower than the batter's box.
There you go. That's fair enough.
Okay. I mean, he's good
That's
to have
funny.
On the team. And I think Bruce talked to Justin Turner
he
as well.
He talked to him.
And I think he said something to the effect
you're
of...
You're not a coach.
You're not a
coach. Player.
You're a player.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny because I didn't have the heart to say to Bruce in his ear, hey, could you talk to the designated hugger now?
Well, the very fact that you clarified that to me was like letting him know you
right.
did a great coaching job.
If you have to clarify, he was a guy celebrating as well, but I didn't get the sense that this is a team that's going to get too carried away.
No.
They know where they are. They know what they have to do. What's interesting is that the Brewers had the best record in baseball this year.
They sure did.
But the Cubs had the edge in the season series, 7-6. So they don't feel like they're going to be overmatched. Nobody's going to be intimidated. And this is exactly where you want to be when you're talking about October baseball, Cubs and Brewers, the storylines, as Jed said postgame, the media and everybody else, the media especially, going to love this story.
Well, no doubt about it, with him going back. And I don't know if you read the Players Tribune. I'm now addicted to it thanks to PCA story. But your guy, William, not to be
brother of Wilson.
Confused with Wilson,
William
younger
Contreras.
Brother William Contreras, catcher, he wrote a story in the Players Tribune. He wrote the We're Better Than Anyone story.
Give me the gist.
It was basically him saying, hey, you know, we're the best team in baseball. Hmm. And he talked about Craig leaving.
Did he cuss as much as PCA did?
No. No, he cleaned it up pretty good. Okay. But he just kind of, he said that he's a man of few words and he wasn't going to say much, but he basically said that they're the best team in baseball.
Well, I think he has every reason to believe that.
Well, I mean, it's nice to believe in yourself.
I do need to now catch up on the Brewers. Where is Woodruff? Is he coming back? Is he possibly coming back at all? What is their health situation in the bullpen?
Right.
William Contreras can say that because he's right. And I think that's the way you want them to believe. But here's the thing.
The game's tomorrow.
The game is tomorrow. When's the last time they played?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know where we are. I don't know who's on their team anymore. I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I know.
Yes,
but I'm saying the game is tomorrow, and it's the early game. It's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
I think advantage, Cubs, when you go into a series and you have no time to really – this is what the players do. This is the way their body clocks operate.
Yes, they're ready to play again.
The Brewers haven't played in 5-6 days, and it's going to be a couple innings maybe before they recalibrate. Meanwhile, the Cubs are coming in hot. Coming in hot with the pitching and
well,
all.
Well, they've used everybody, so, I mean, you got to line up that pitching a little.
Did you hear Bruce ask
tomorrow?
Counsel? I don't know.
Okay.
Bruce asked Counsel
Freddy
that question. Freddy Peralta.
For that part.
For the Brewers. Right, we know about the part. Cubs. Yep, yep. Bruce threw me under the bus with Craig Counsel by trying to say, hey, I'm with David Haw wants to know who's going to pitch the first game, so I'm going to ask you who's going to pitch the first. Come on, Bruce. Just ask him.
Yeah.
Come on, Bruce.
Yeah.
What
it was
doing?
Very funny, at least
it was good.
It was funny.
I thought that was
it was very funny.
We enjoyed it. Yeah. I don't know that you enjoyed it.
Kind of an inside little bit of a joke.
I don't know that Craig enjoyed it.
I don't either. He didn't tell us.
Yeah.
Craig was having fun yesterday.
Yeah, he was enjoying
it. It's nice to see him be that guy.
Let his hair down a little.
Yeah, I think it is because you're reminded that he's been through this before as a player.
William Contreras, in his ode to the Brewers, did write that it was difficult that Craig left after they won the division, and he said that Craig always cared about Latin players, and he had a lot of love for Craig, only played the opponent, which happens to be their biggest opponent.
That's really nice to.
It was a beautiful
hear him
tribute.
Have that kind of respect for somebody. Who left Milwaukee, and frankly, not everybody still there has that kind of respect.
And he marveled at the contract. He said that he basically didn't blame him for leaving. He got a great deal.
All of that is going to get rehashed
in
the next couple days or week, and all of that will be revisited.
That goofy park in Milwaukee, they're going to damage the sign again.
Whitefish Bay? Please, have security surrounding.
Be nice to the side.
Be nice to Whitefish Bay. Those people did not do anything to anybody. Craig Counsell took a better opportunity professionally, did what everybody would have done under the circumstances. Leave him alone. Leave him alone.
Leave that treasonous son of a gun alone.
You know, there's some guys, Sparky comes to mind, on Milwaukee radio that still refer to Craig Counsell as traitor. As a traitor.
How old is Sparky now? Just saying. At some point, you got to drop the nickname.
Well, it's going to be
Did they write the check to Sparky?
Oh, there's going to be a subplot. There's going to be a lot of booing. He's going to get booed.
No!
He's going to get booed.
Well, how dare you?
Yeah.
He'll be cheered by the Cub fans. There's going to be a lot of Cub fans up there.
I'll be curious to see how the breakdown is.
It'll be interesting to see how that all works out.
There'll be a lot of angry Milwaukee fans that'll sell their tickets to Cub fans. That is how it will work out.
Yeah. It's going to have...
Get mad about the crowd, but make sure you get your share.
You're going to have a presence. It's not going to be like it was last night at Wrigley where it was just an electric atmosphere. And I'm looking forward to the two games back home next weekend, or next week I suppose it is. To see how that goes and how this series unfolds, because there were some tense moments last night, but there was a belief that everybody was just waiting to exhale. Yeah, you know, everyone was just waiting to exhale.
And I'll tell you what, someone, if you run into that umpire, buy him a drink. he needs a free meal after that call.
He might need an Uber after that.
Sander Bogaerts.
He had a hard time getting out of the building.
Holy guacamole.
Did you see the Padres?
That was...
Did you see the umpires trying to get off the field?
Well...
Into the clubhouse?
I mean, if
Padres were
you,
infuriated.
They should have been. That guy walked by a mile. That could have been bases loaded. I imagine that Craig would have taken out Keller after... If he walked somebody... And then the hit-by-pitch, he wouldn't wait for the second hit-by-pitch.
Well, I think you're probably right there. But let's face it, I know what you're saying, and it was egregious.
It was egregious.
But it doesn't excuse the way the Padres, the video clip that I saw, the umpires walking off the field into the dugout and into the clubhouse after the game had to be restrained from going after these guys. And
I think there'll be a fine or two.
No doubt.
I'm sure there will.
It was ugly.
But you know what?
It was a really, really bad call.
But again, at that point, what did they have? One run, right? They had one run.
No shadow of a doubt. But Dustin, if that had happened the other way, you would have been the guy going after the officials. Okay? That is a fact. If that had gone the other way, you'd have led the charge. We'd be having, can you imagine if you got eliminated with something like that going
Yikes.
On?
Yikes, would have been pretty
I'm
bad.
I'm just being honest. I mean, that was egregious, and it won't happen again, maybe in this playoff, but next year it won't happen because you'll have the
Padres are kind of a hard team to like, though. I know it's the easy thing to say once. It's like, their best players aren't that embraceable.
No.
And I don't know what Fernando Tatis, if I'm a Padre fan, I'm looking at Tatis last night. He had non-competitive at-bats in the first two.
Mm-hmm.
He struck out, and it just did not look like he was locked in.
Struggled with the sun.
The right field sun psyched him out, and he didn't even come close on a ball that was a base
that
hit.
That was weird.
It was weird.
Like, it was like he let it fall. It was so strange.
He was like in this zone that nobody else was in, and
I'm glad the Sox got rid of that guy.
Aren't you glad? It saved them $300 million, yeah. Right?
That's how Jerry
and then,
looks at
then it. Machado didn't have a great night. He didn't have a terrific night.
No.
So their stars, as much as they came up big in the game they won in that series, did not come up big last night.
You're right.
And Michael Bush, what a clutch at bat. This guy just does nothing but hit, and he has quietly had a terrific season.
I wish you had done that earlier. Second inning. That would have been magic.
I know, but it set up the drama. It built the suspense.
You didn't need drama or suspense to get it over.
I'd been fine if it was over in the third inning.
Yeah. That would have been a lot easier. That would
have been good. I've been fine with
but
that.
It was great. Listen, it was great. The crowd was electric. You are right. You're holding your breath there until the last at bat. I believe the great soccer manager, Sir Alex Ferguson, would call that sticky bum time, where you're having a hard time getting standing up off the bench because you are sweating it out.
There was a lot of there's some sticky bums, I'm sure.
I'm just saying
throughout that stadium,
it was sticky bum time
throughout that ballpark. How do we feel about the challenges last night? The way that worked.
I thought that they just weren't going to overcall any without evidence, and the only one they overturned was the PCA one.
Yeah. Anybody mad at PCA over that? I just wondered what Dustin. I found myself wondering what Dustin thought.
He went in hot, right?
Yes.
I mean, he went. Yes. We were calling for them. I thought of us yesterday.
Being aggressive.
And they were. And at one point, you might have thought, ooh, maybe a little too, especially at the beginning of the game, right?
Yeah.
Going back to Nico Horner.
Right.
Right. A little too aggressive. But he was coming in. He's coming in hot.
He came in hot.
That was the only, I guess, mistake that he made. But I mean, that was more like science, right, than actual, like, that he did something wrong.
No, you're right.
The Cubs
were aggressive.
Some
people were saying that he was also pushed.
It might have been a gentle nudge.
Right?
Cronenworth did a nice job there. I felt like PCA's got to learn somehow the way to slide without oversliding. He's got to work on that. That's next year's spring training project. But that was...
He had a much better game than we've seen from him.
He had three hits.
And you know what? The key was he was getting to he wasn't out before he got to full counts. They were giving him, they had to give him pitches to hit. He was hitting them.
I want to talk to Coombe. Looking forward to that. At what time is he? 8 o'clock this morning.
8 a.m.
He made this point last night during the broadcast, and I thought it was interesting. If you remember PCA's first at bat against Darvish, the first pitch, and PCA's locked in, all excited, waiting to overswing, and Darvish throws it about 58 feet.
Yes.
And it bounces.
Yeah.
And it bounces.
And he
exhaled. It was like, oh, okay. And you kind of, and Ron thought that pitch maybe helped him time things up, settle down, and get back in there. And he saw a non-competitive pitch. Now he was ready to hit. And he did. And it was odd how one guy who understands hitting better than anybody that I know thought that that one non-competitive pitch could have set the stage for a good night for PCA.
That's interesting.
Just because of the timing aspect, getting rid of that anxiety in the first pitch against him, and he didn't swing and miss, and he wasn't behind in the count.
No, he got to some full counts, and he did well when he did. It was a relief of sorts to see him actually.
And I don't know of anybody that was interviewed more after the game than PCA. He was in front of every microphone.
He makes himself available.
He was great. He was enjoying it.
Yeah,
and he's as easy of a player that they have a likable team, though. They have a lot of guys. I shouldn't say that. He's likable. They're all likable. And last night they were, how about Daniel Palencia?
They were very likable last night.
So speaking of Palencia, do you guys know the backstory at all? I was asked this. I didn't know the answer. What's with Palencia and the cowbell?
Don't know that one.
So he was back out on the field just outside the Cubs dugout on marquee with a camera shot after he had been soaked in various adult beverages, and he was playing the cowbell with a drumstick and a cowbell.
Well, more cowbell, please, theme of my life.
But I just wondered if what the story was behind that.
Bruce might have the backstory to that. I'm not quite sure.
We need more cowbell.
We need more cowbell in our lives. And the Cubs certainly need more Daniel Palencia. Think about his contributions in this three-game series.
Yeah.
And where he was 2 weeks ago, coming back from an injury. We didn't know how bad it was. And I just can't get the image out of my head watching last night, him slamming the ground when he thought that he was probably done for the season. And he comes back. He refocuses. They bit their bullpen into place. And last night was another one of those push-button bullpen excursions. And six pitchers. Tyon was great.
Tyon was fantastic. He did everything you wanted.
Four innings. Yeah. And I thought about what we talked about yesterday when he was taken out. He got 12 outs.
Yes.
And I wondered, after the Shota experiment and gamble did not pay off, if that was in Craig Counsell's head about, well, I'm going to stop while I'm ahead. I'm not going to push it beyond anybody's limit. 12 outs are enough.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Score! This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Ian Happ, 23 bombs on the year and hits one right on a button over to left fielder's head, and one hops into the ivy. Sheets did not think he hit it that hard, and it went right over his head. Two-out double for Ian Happ, and that is as hard a ball as he's hit in the series.
Gold Glove Award winner.
The Cubs have won the ball game. They have won the National League Wild Card Series battle against San Diego. Not surprisingly, it went right down to the final at-bat.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
We got playoff baseball. We got end of the year. Where do you want to start?
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has five fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
Something tells me that there was a lot of toasting with Ian Happ yesterday. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we are happy to have our weekly visit with Ian Happ, and it's just a little late because, well, they had a playoff series to win. Ian, of course, the Gold Glove left fielder, that was shown yesterday, and he also, of course, hosts the Compound Podcast, which you can hear through Odyssey and the Odyssey app, and he joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. So download that Circa app today. Ian, how are you today?
I am good. It was a fun night last night. Awesome atmosphere at Wrigley the last 3 days. And nice to have a day off today. But yeah, it was pretty good last night.
I'm so curious as to the celebration last night versus what we saw in Pittsburgh. It seemed like more of the alcohol that was shared was ending up on people and on the floor than actually being ingested. Is that an accurate portrayal of what happened last night?
There was some ingested. I think the difference between, you know, when you clinch, go into the playoffs, it's kind of a celebration of the season, celebration of the long grind. And when you win a playoff series, it's,
oh no, did we lose Ian?
Uh-oh.
The Cylons have taken Ian.
There he goes.
Poor guy. I hope he's okay.
I know, and here he is joining us after what sounded like a pretty good evening.
Yeah.
I guess a little bit more happened than what we just saw in the post-game show.
Sounded like he could use a handful of Connect roaster beans.
You know? Ian, yeah. You drinking any Connect coffee this morning?
Man. I'm drinking it right now.
So there was some alcohol ingested. I got that impression because PCA's What's Up Everybody, when he did the video for MLB and Cubs social media, may have indicated that he might have had one or two.
Yeah. Well, the combination of champagne and Budweiser is it's an interesting one. You don't usually mix that around.
It's a lot of bubbles.
Beer before liquor, never sicker, or something like that.
Liquor
I don't know.
Do beer, we? Never
is champagne?
Fear. I don't think it matters
liquor.
Anymore. I
yeah,
don't know.
Champagne's never even in that saying. That's the problem.
Yeah, I tried. You know what I mean? That's my thing. Sometimes I try just a little bit too hard. Ian, what were you guys thinking on the field when that ninth inning comes around? And we know how successful Brad Keller has been this year, but he gives up the home run to Jackson Merrill, and then things start to get messy out there. What is the feeling in such what felt like a very fragile moment in that game?
Yeah, I think the home run was nothing. I think, you know, when he's in there competing in the zone and the guy gets him, that's part of it, especially pitching with a 3-run lead. You know, just want him to be aggressive and go after guys. And then, you know, the walks, a couple of the hit by pitches there, and a little bit scattered. I think, you know, he had done such a great job in the first game. Then you're asking him to go two innings with a little bit of length, and he was getting up around 30 pitches, which is it's a lot to ask, especially the up down of the emotions. You know, going out for the eighth and then. The motions kind of regulating, then come back out for the night. So I thought Counts did a great job, and I thought Carson Kelly did a great job of talking multiple bullpen guys, talking to those guys and getting them right. And, you know, being able to go to Kit there. I think that was one of the advantages of doing the opener the day before, just a little bit of extra rest. I know it's not a ton, but the difference between going out and throwing the first inning and then being able to watch the game versus being in the bullpen waiting for the phone to ring for all that time, it's just a little bit different. So, yeah, for Kit to have a little bit of extra rest and be able to go out and get the last couple outs was great.
I love the Swiss Army knife of it all. And looking at that game last night and the energy and the electricity, how would you describe it and compare it to what you've seen in previous games at Wrigley?
Yeah, I mean, that's as loud and as electric of a 3 days as I think I've seen. You know, we had some great ones in 17. And, you know, the wild card game in 18 kind of, it was tight the whole way and it was long and it was into extras. But I think that's the loudest atmosphere, you know, I've been lucky enough to see here. And just from some of the people that were here, you know, some of the staff, we're talking about kind of the loudest since those 15, 16 runs. So, it was electric. It was electric the whole time. And I can't wait for more playoff baseball at Wrigley.
Yeah, I know, Ian, I've asked you this a couple times because I feel like it's important. And it's a rule in our business, and I hate it. You know, they say, don't ask, how does it feel? But for you, especially at this point in your career, knowing the gap that the Cubs had, even from 2020, and, you know, I think about that one game wild card loss to the Rockies in 18, to be able to have this opportunity of the three-game series at home and to close it out in front of your home fans like you wanted, you said how important that was to you. How does this feel for you specifically to be able to be advancing in the playoffs?
Yeah, and it's special. I think, you know, we wanted to play home games at Wrigley for this fan base, and we achieved that. You know, I've been lucky to play in the postseason for this organization, but haven't clinched anything at Wrigley. You know, even the 17 division, 20 division, 17 DS, all of that was on the road. And so I haven't got to celebrate in front of these fans and see that and kind of experience that. And so it was just a super special moment to be able to see live, like, that fan reaction and see the stadium erupting, see all the W flags. And then after, to be able to go back out onto the field, you know, kind of after we celebrated, to see family, to see friends, and be able to do that at Wrigley, on Wrigley, just really, you know, can't put it into words how much that means. And I think the most exciting part of it is, you know, we get to keep doing it. We get to keep doing it at Wrigley, and that's awesome.
Our segment with Ian is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
All right, let's get serious here, Ian, because there is actually a ball game tomorrow, which is just wild. There's not enough time to celebrate what just went down, and you guys do deserve to celebrate it. But it's looking like Freddie Peralta will be the guy on the mound for Milwaukee tomorrow, which, and he is, we talk about a guy who has sustained amongst all those great pitchers that the Brewers have had through the years when Corbin Burns was there. And I know Brandon Woodruff is iffy for the series. Freddie has always been there, a Cy Young contender. How do you feel about this series, the craziness of it being Cubs Brewers and going up against Freddie Peralta tomorrow?
I mean, yeah, it's going to be a fun series. I think it's going to be a pretty electric atmosphere in both places. But, you know, Freddie's been great for a long time. He's been really, really good. He continues to, you know, pitch at an ace level. And that's why they've been such a good team. You know, they do have good staff. They've done great work out of the bullpen. And so, you know, we just faced a really good staff in San Diego. Their starters were really, really good. And their bullpen did a great job. The five-game series is a little bit different than the three-game series in that sense of how long starters have to go and how much bullpen usage there is. But I think the one thing that's a little bit different about this one is just we've played them quite a bit, and we've played them more recently. And we haven't played the Padres since April. And so you know, having a little bit more experience with their bullpen and their team and a little bit more knowledge of their pitchers, I think, will help us offensively.
Yeah, just from having talked to you guys in the past, back when I was doing pre and post, like, players will always say, I think you said it, like, there's a sense of comfort playing in those ballparks. It's going to be rowdy and crazy, but when you guys are in St. Louis or Cincinnati or, in this case, Milwaukee, there's a sense of comfort. But I also wanted to ask you, Ian, too, you're grinding out good at bats. You had a hit yesterday. Do you feel like you're ready to kind of break out? Is it your turn, sir, to get some of the big the big hits in this series?
Hey, however it happens, however we can figure out a way to push more runs than they do. But the Padres, you know, there are a couple of tough matchups for me with Pivetta and Cease. That I haven't historically hit those guys very well. A little bit of a tough pitch mix, but. Yeah, I felt like the at bats were good. I was getting deep in counts. Mm-hmm. Wasn't quite getting the results that I wanted. But that's part of it. You know, you're going to go through a couple day stretches, and it just gets magnified in the playoffs because it's 2 or 3 days. You know, that was two tough days, and it gets magnified.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, you know, my work's been really good, and you do everything you can to help. You know, maybe lay down a bunt like I did yesterday, whatever yeah. you can to help try to create runs. And that's the fun part of the playoffs is if you have a bad day and you win the game, who cares?
I'm really curious, as we're joined by Ian Happ here on Raheem Harrison Grody. Ian, what's your feelings on rest versus rust? Because you are coming off of such an emotional high and you get a day to kind of reset but go right back at it. Meanwhile, the Brewers have been sitting around for almost a week.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the playoff atmosphere and the first couple times you do it, you know, there is, it's different, you know, it's different. And so feeling that and getting a chance to feel that, getting a chance to go through those moments, I think helps. You know, we're going to be up there tonight. We'll have a little workout. You know, that's part of, you know, staying fresh and continue to do it. Baseball is kind of an everyday sport, and I think that we have guys that are accustomed to doing that. So I feel like our guys are in a good spot for sure.
Ian, I saw the good deed. It got gossiped about in the bleachers. The last regular season game, you threw a ball up there and said thanks to the fans, and there was 100 wrapped in it for some drinks. What was your thought behind that, and did you find out what the crew in the bleachers got?
I'm sure it was beers, but yeah, it's the last 3 years I've done that for those guys. I think just their commitment to being out there every day. You know, there's a group of those guys that are out there 81 games. You know, it's incredible. And so just a little way for me to say thank you for their support and loyalty and consistency. And so I appreciate them, and If I can show that anyway, I will.
Well, and I know you probably don't care if it gets publicized, but that ended up being posted by Relish Brand. I know they posted on Instagram, and it did get a little bit of play in the stands. It's nice that we were able to ask you about that too on a day like this. But I know that's not necessarily the reason you do it.
Yeah, no, I do it because, you know, they've supported me through ups and downs and been out there every single day, and to have a group of fans and a group of individuals that no matter what, just unwavering support, you know, from when things were a little bit not so good here, when we were losing, when I was struggling, you know, they were always out there and always supportive and always positive. And so I've always just really, really appreciated that about kind of that group that sits behind me every day.
Ian, 13 hits yesterday for your group as a team, 4 guys with multiple hits. Do you feel like something is breaking out? You mentioned the fact that the Padres are just a tough matchup for anybody when it comes to pitching, especially that bullpen.
Yeah, I think that's a credit to our hitters for getting all those hits, but it's a credit to their bullpen for how difficult it is to score against them. You know, we had a bunch of guys on base and we're only able to push 3 runs. And that's a credit to those arms that they have. Because there are just so many strikeouts with that bullpen. They have electric stuff and they have the ability to do that. And a bunch of, you know, we've got a few sinker guys who are good at getting ground balls. So some double plays in there too, but that's, Yeah, it's a, I think our guys just, you know, you get a couple of days of seeing the same guys and the ability to start swinging it like that. I know that that just there's a little bit of confidence there from getting those hits and getting those playoff hits out of the way and kind of breaking the seal.
Yeah, Ian, there was some heavy duty controversy in the ninth inning with a certain Xander Bogaerts at the plate and the home plate umpire DJ Rayburn badly missing a call, a ball that was low. And I have to tell you what I thought in the moment. I was like, yeah, that's a bad call. But guess what? It's nice that for once one of these weird things didn't go against the Cubs. And you guys have had your fair share of games where the home plate ump was missing everything. What did you guys make of that moment and the Padres' angst in the moment? And then apparently, and I don't even know if you know about this, but they were going off on the umps as they were walking off the field at Wrigley after that game.
Yeah, I think it's an emotional yeah, that's an emotional moment. And I think that with your season on the line and in that situation, you know, tensions were definitely high. You know, I didn't, it's hard to see that from left field. And it's hard to see kind of the where it is exactly. And Karst did a good job of catching that ball.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's part of the game. And I think DJ back there did a great job pretty much that whole game. There's when you see, you know, you see him 300 pitches in that game,
yeah,
there's gonna be a couple missed ones. And yeah, it's nice when it goes your way. And in that situation, to get that out was huge. And yeah, obviously the tensions is just like in that moment, you know, that they're going to be a little bit elevated. I thought the umpires did a good job of handling that situation. I thought they did a good job of handling the whole series. Just, you don't ever want somebody to get thrown out in the playoff game. And they did a really good job of just being able to calm it down and not take anything too far.
Ian, there's a story that also came out on Monday in The Athletic, thanks to Patrick Mooney, talking about the workflow that you discussed and Nico discussed with Craig Counsell when it came to trying to improve that. How did you see that take place, and what exactly changed from the conversation you had?
What can you elaborate a little bit more? Workflow?
Yeah, it was your workspace workflow in the dugout.
Oh, kind of the dugout change?
Yes.
Yeah, that was something that we had been talking about for a little while. Just when the new dugout was installed, and I think I'm the only guy that was able to experience the old dugout. In 17 was the last year of the old dugout. It was just really tiny, and there was nowhere to go. And so, I don't know, you guys remember the pitchers, some of the starting pitchers would sit up on like coolers at the top there. And it was just this really intimate setting. It was a lot closer to home plate as well, the old dugout. And so you felt like you were right on top of the hitter. Everybody had to be together and tight knit and talking in the dugout. There's a couple stadiums that are like that, in the big leagues. You know, the Coliseum was one in Oakland that was really tight. And San Diego's a little bit like that too on the visiting side. And I just felt like it kept the group really close during the game, and kept everybody on top of each other, kept everybody communicating. Now we have this massive dugout that's really nice, but it would kind of separate guys. There was times where there would be a group of guys on one set of benches kind of down the third baseline. And then we had this bench kind of closer to the bat rack and closer to the hitter. But if you were sitting down below, you couldn't see the game. And so, you know, on cold days, guys would be down there trying to get warm, but you couldn't see what was happening. And so it was kind of, how can we make this a more cohesive environment? How can we make it so that you can interact, so that you can have a little bit more freedom to walk around in there? And so, we talked to Counts about it. We talked and the engineers and everybody actually worked together on this from front office to Crane. And we're able to kind of come up with this plan of getting rid of that bench that was closer, having a stairs where everybody, and now you can walk through the dugout a lot easier, but you can also see the game if you're sitting down below, you know, looking at the pitcher or previous at bat. I think it makes that space a lot more functional.
Man, that's a good use of design solution. That's really cool. That that article, in case you're interested, also listeners, obviously, just came out in The Athletic earlier this week. Ian, thank you so much. Congratulations on the Wild Card Series win. We look forward to the NLDS.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ian.
That's Ian Happ. I'm sure he is continuing to enjoy his Connect Roasters coffee. You can get it at Steingold and other establishments. And Ian, kind enough to join us via the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. And this segment is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. This is a huge weekend for Wagertainment. As we mentioned, the baseball playoffs, a big part of it. No better person to help us out than Joe Ostrowski. Joe O, next on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen to Raheem Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
It's a ground ball to short. Swanson's got it. Steps on the bag. Throws to first. Double play. Double play ends the inning. You can't do it any better than Dansby just did.
The defense was, you know, certainly stands out tonight. Our middle infielders, you know, Pete this series, Matt Shaw this series, like absolutely some huge plays. And we played a great defensive game tonight.
Get money. You do get money when you advance in the playoffs. You get playoff shares. So credit to everybody who's a part of that. It's like Cubs organization. Like, you're talking about clubbies. You're talking about trainers. It's a big deal for people. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we are continuing to celebrate a Cubs playoff win. We have not been able to say those words since 2017. It's a different time. Like, then we used to say, what a time to be alive. I don't say that anymore. But I feel better because of what happened yesterday.
I think it's still a time to be alive because so much has changed since 2017. I mean, the world has changed, right?
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm here. I'm here today. I got to work. I'm functioning.
And we're taking a shower.
You know what hasn't changed? The Dodgers from 2017, because that was the team against which the Cubs were eliminated.
Why are you doing this?
Hey, Dodgers, Yankees, sleeper predictions.
Yeah.
Oh, you pipe down over there. That's for five minutes.
Sorry. I jumped the gun again.
Mark picked these two secret teams to go to the World Series.
Nobody's
ever heard of them.
Hey, Ray and I conspired. Don't leave Ray out of this.
That's right.
Ray and I workshopped this one early morning at Gallagher Way while you guys were putting the addition on the house. Ray and I were talking and drinking lemonade.
Who picked the secret team in the National League? Who picked it?
It was you.
I'm just saying what hasn't changed since 2017. Am I wrong?
We were in Gallagher Way drinking lemonade, and I said, hey, Grody, I'll tell you what no one's talking about.
No one's talking about the Yankees.
And Dodgers. I was like, oh, yeah.
And the McCaskies.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just get it all out there. Nobody's talking about the McCaskies. Nobody's talking about the Yankees and the Dodgers.
What about the Bears? The Bears have been left in our rearview mirror.
Grody, I don't know. Okay, so I don't know what to do.
I had maybe
co-hosted with Danny like twice in 2017. I did the monthly visitor segment with Lawrence. How do you host Bears and Cubs playoffs at the same time?
This
is new for me.
Yeah.
Because 2020 didn't really count. So I was a part of that, but not like really, because nobody was. You feel me?
I do feel you. It takes me back to my childhood, actually, when it was real serious angst. When I was a child, you didn't have remotes. And so when you had those rare crossover times when the Cubs, I'm not saying playoffs at the same time, but when they were even just playing regular season games at the same time for young Mark, prepubescent Mark Grody, that was torture. That was torture trying to figure out where to stay on the little turn dial. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
UHF.
Sometimes you didn't get a channel real clear, and one of the tricks is to like put it halfway.
You put it
halfway between 6 and 7 or something.
Yeah.
We are collectively showing our age, and not in a good way,
That's okay.
I also want to get back, because this is a big discussion in our pre-show meeting, is We talked about how good the defense was yesterday, and Dansby Swanson deserves all of the credit. We have not experienced playoff Dansby Swanson until now. I know that he, you know, when you make a lot of money, you're going to get a lot more criticism, and that has happened. We've been fair, I think, when it comes to that during the regular season. We absolutely have to understand that what Dansby and Nico did, and even the diving catch by PCA, that's your spine of the defense, as we like to call it. The framing by Carson Kelly, which frankly helped prevent that walk to Xander Bogaerts in the ninth inning. Again, that is the backbone of your defense, the thing that is keeping it upright. Every single part of it worked to help them win the game. I don't think they do it if they don't yesterday.
We knew this team was built on that idea, the spine of the defense being stronger than everybody else's spine, if not just as strong, we'll say. But I got to tell you, as that game's unfolding, and we just talked about the fact that hitting-wise, yeah, they got a bunch of hits. They did not score a bunch of runs, right? And so I'm like, is this team... I think this team is trying to make a statement with this game. Not only are they advancing to the National League Division Series against the Brewers, but they're also staking their claim as to what their identity really has been all season long, if you really think about it, and what it is if they're going to forge ahead. And I think that identity is pretty strong. It's strong pitching, specifically in the bullpen, because their bullpen was overshadowed, of course, by Mason Miller and company and the Padres, who have the best bullpen in all of baseball. It's outstanding, exciting, electric defense. And then, yeah, we'll hit just enough. We'll get a hit when you need it. We'll get a little something going. And that's what they've done all season long. That's how they got to 92 wins. It wasn't, even though we look back at the early season, we say how good that offense was early on. It's been the pitching and the defense that has carried them through. And when they've come up short for stretches, it's because they couldn't score any runs.
Well, what's funny, and I've pointed this out a couple times over time, is the spine of the defense and all that talk really originated in what? I'd say 2021, 22. I feel like that was the original discussion, maybe even as late as 23. They deviated from that. You know, they decided they didn't have enough offense then. That's why they decided to get Kyle Tucker. That's why they DFA'd a Gold Glover and Tucker Barnhart. You know, that they decided they needed more offensive production out of certain positions because they were engineered to be a 2-1 ball game team. That's always been the running joke in San Diego. Every game is 2-1. What's funny is how it played out yesterday, where that really was the case. But the plays that Dansby was making, we weren't the only ones admiring them. Say what you want about Mike Shilton, we have, but he knew exactly what the poison for his team was, and it came in the form of Dansby.
You know, talking about defense, I don't think they give an MVP for this round. I'd give it to Swanson. I mean, this, you know, Dansby played his tail off, man. He almost single-handedly beat us with his glove. You know, we talk about in the modern game about the pitching, and we talk about the offense and who we're hitting for and all the things that are, you know, appropriate to talk about in our game. But the one thing that we don't talk about as much anymore is your defense. In this time of year, your defense, and we play great defense, but Dansby Swanson absolutely beat us with his glove this series.
And that is high praise, given the infield of the Padres as well. And I don't know how, I can't argue with it. He played tremendous defense.
It seemed like last night there was a magnet attached to his uniform, whatever. The ball's just coming to him, and he was ready for it. But he's always ready for it. That's why the Cubs paid him all the money is, hey, you're going to get Gold Glove level defense with some pop. But not consistency like you'd want out of a quote-unquote all-star shortstop, future Hall of Fame shortstop, but premium defense at a premium position.
Yeah, so you still want more offense, but he did provide some offense yesterday, just standing there and accepting his walk against the ex-Cub, Jeremiah Estrada. That's pretty big right there, because everybody wants to get out there. Like, bases are loaded, your eyes get a little bigger. You want that gapper. You want that bases clearing double, man. You don't want us, but he, as Joe Maddon said, he accepted his walk. He was a menace to our guy Luis Arraez yesterday on a couple of occasions. How about the unassisted double play in the sixth inning when Horner was taken out of position, and he just knew, like, he knew there was not even hesitation. He knew he had to sprint to the base, fling it over to first, Michael Busch sure-handed as he is. That was pretty sick as well.
All right, that was the ender for me. You know, that was like the mic drop moment, the Sharpie drop that we used yesterday. That double play, he's like, I got this, I got you, we're done, next inning.
What else you need? What else you need me to do?
Robbie, you were there. Like, what was the atmosphere like after that particular play, like that double play? I feel like Wrigley was rocking, and really that was Jameson Taillon kind of setting it up, because he was like, I'm going to strike out this guy to end an inning, I'm going to strike out this guy to end an inning. But I feel like the double play really helped. Help too.
Like, being an out of towner and being in Wrigley for, I was there for all three games. I was there. That game and those fans were just incredible. That, especially game three, and that moment right there, it absolutely erupted. That and the Michael Busch home run were the moments where, like, you felt like chills throughout your whole body because of, like, the magic of it happening. Even when Dansby dropped that ball and still got him out, like, that was Chicago, I love you. That was so cool.
You know,
being
that
there, so cool.
You know what that was too, when the game slowed down to that level? Like, Caleb Williams talked about flow state or whatever we talk about, a fugue state. Sometimes you can see it. That's it, right? Where you are in the absolute right position before it happens to know to make that play, and you can still take the time to do it like that. That's as close as you get to bending time as it exists, I think.
How about the Nico Horner play in the seventh inning? I think it was on Iglesias, where he mistimes his jump. And
he admitted that he jumped too soon.
But he kind of smiled about it, but in the moment it was like, oh, he's jumping, made a big... Oh, wait a minute. He kind of mistimed his jump, but he stayed up long enough to grab it and bring it down. So, I mean, it's the pitching and defense. They got away with it in this series. I would like more runs to be scored. I would like to feel much more comfortable in the ninth inning when Brad Keller is on his second inning and he's running out of gas. And they're like, can we bring in Kittredge? Can we bring in Kittredge? Meow. Yes, we can. He takes care of it. But I don't want to have that feeling of the one run difference. Let score some more runs, please.
When he got to 30 pitches, I was like, what are we doing? Because I knew someone was in the bullpen. Two guys were in the bullpen. It was Kittredge and it was Boyd, right?
Matthew Boyd was warming up.
So I'm wondering, I was like, wait, what is the plan here? I felt like for the first time in the series, I didn't understand the plan. That was my issue. I did not understand what was going on.
No, I didn't either. But I feel like one guy managed his team like it was an elimination game. in Craig Counsell and just threw what he could and knew he saved some bullets for that game three. And then the other one in Mike Schilt, I feel like it was equally as frantic. Because my whole thought is if you're going to throw Morjon, then you should also be able to throw Mason Miller. Like, that was my logic. Our segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But I really think that when you see it come together in that way, it's even leaving Keller in as long as he did, I was like, okay, are we really doing this? Like, okay, this is the thought process, huh? You're gonna let this ride. And then finally we see Kittredge come in at the end. Craig Counsell also, by the way, talked to our Bruce Levine about what he thinks the identity of this Cubs team is.
Your belief in this group from day one, and I don't know how many times you had to admonish me and say, you know, Bruce, we have a really good team.
And I thought tonight was the kind of like a Cubs win, like this 2025 Cubs win. We did it with great defense. We did it with a bullpen who just doesn't care about where they're doing it. You just get the outs. And so it was right on brand for what this team has done and how we played this year.
I didn't realize Bruce was taking so many admonishings from the manager this year. I'm glad. I hope he came away clean from all that.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, admonishing. That's a very specific type of language there, admonishment.
Now, you've heard their back and forth throughout the season.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
I enjoy them thoroughly because they're entertaining. Hilarious. And I think that Bruce has a special bond, not only with Craig Counsell, but so many of the people in that organization, because he's been there, done that, seen it all.
Well, also, to get Craig Counsell's humor, I think it's not like a soundbite. Like, it's definitely something that has to be absorbed over, like, a back and forth over some time. But I'm looking forward to the next installment of this. There's one guy who's going to give us the 411 on what is happening with the Brewers, because we're trying to figure out who's healthy, who's available, who might be on that playoff roster. Vinny Rotino, the former also White Sox guy. Yeah, he had a stint with the Sox. So Vinny's the analyst for FanDuel Sports Network Wisconsin. He's a friend of the show, and he joins us next to talk about who they're going to face tomorrow. That's on Raheem Harris and Grody on The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Now that the Cubs put up a 3-1 victory over the Padres in Game 3 to earn that wild card victory, can you please make a prediction in the best of 5 series versus the Brewers, which starts tomorrow in Milwaukee? 108 first pitch, 12:30 pregame. How many games will it take? Who wins, and how does Game 1 go tomorrow?
This is what we want. This is what we've been waiting for. This is the Final Four of the National League. I found myself last night leaving Wrigley Field, watching what we just saw, and seeing the Cubs take care of the Padres, sending them home for good, and hearing from Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell, and always asking the question in the back of our minds, I don't know if we've asked it in a while. Remember when Jed Hoyer talked about the next great Cub team? He's going to be this on the next great Cub team. He's going to be that on the next great Cub team. Are we watching the next great Cub team? Could this be a collection of pitching and defense and timely hitting that makes this the next great Cub team? I don't know that I can answer that, but the fact that I can't, and the answer isn't no, leaves open the possibility that the answer is yes, which is all you want in October, is a chance, is a glimmer, is a little bit of hope. And the Cubs gave us that last night. And they're going to give us that over the next week and a half. Cubs in 5.
Wow, 5. Cubs in 5, but I think the whole – if the Cubs can win tomorrow – I think it's all about tomorrow. If for some reason we talked about, did they party too hard? Did they have too many Bud Heavies? Did they have too much champagne? Are their eyes still burning?
They take a 1-0 lead tomorrow.
I think it's a must-win statement game, game number one. I think you have to have it because – the Brewers have to be out of form. They just have to be. So if you don't take that game, I don't see them winning the series. But I see them winning, and I see them winning in 5 games.
Yeah, I find that curious. I don't know that tomorrow is the must-win game, frankly. How many games did you say, Dustin? In 5?
5, yeah.
Wow. That both of you go 5. Do you have... Horton coming back, he's not going to be on the playoff roster.
I don't think he can be
he
yet.
He can't be
Do
on the
Do you think so?
No, I don't. I just don't think you can waste a playoff spot for an if come
that,
on
it.
Game five.
That's it.
And that sounds like I'm being mean, saying waste, but that's exactly what it is. You don't know who you're going to need or how you're going to need it in games, in the four games that would get you to a possible fifth game where that's the only one where he can play.
I think you're going to add a pitcher, but it's not going to be Cade Horton.
I think you might add two.
That's interesting.
I mean,
we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, they only have 12 pitchers right now, and they kind of ran
Correct.
Out of pitchers. All right, I say the Cubs lose game one, just a hangover effect. I don't mean like a real hangover, just coming in as fast as they are. I'm not sure who's got the capability of going the distance here. I also think that the Brewers are a much better team than we give them credit for, and that Pat Murphy is a much better manager than we give him credit for. I think I would rather Mike Schild be in the other dugout than Pat Murphy. So I think he's going to do a really good job, and I think that they're going to win the first game, but I think the Cubs will win a week from tomorrow, and that will be the deciding factor. I think Cubs in five, but they only go five because they lose the first game.
Won't it be something?
If I was going to have them win tomorrow, yeah. I would have them win in four.
So we all have described a scenario, which I think could possibly create, an I think really interesting dynamic. Craig Counsell and the Cubs celebrating a playoff series victory in Milwaukee, in the ballpark where he was a manager and had success to the point where he was so good the Cubs wanted him and lured him away.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know that Milwaukee has a better player than Manny Machado, has a better player than Mason Miller. I know they don't have a better. He's the best pitcher I've seen in 15
years. I love what you're saying here.
And I don't know they have a better player than Tatis. And you just beat those guys.
You beat a team that was built for the postseason.
And Milwaukee,
built for the October.
Milwaukee doesn't have what exactly right. They don't have the bullpen that's built for October. So I think the Cubs are in good position here. They did win the season series. I think that there's a chip on the shoulder type thing. If the Cubs can win tomorrow, they'll do this in four. But otherwise, I'll go five.
Do you think that misses something we can maybe talk about? Do you think that the Brewers, as it sounds almost cliche, are a team that's built for the regular season and they have the pitching depth and they have, you know, the good mentality and they're more equipped to handle 162 games than they are in a playoff round like you just described the Padres? Padres, we always said, well, they're built for October. They've got the stars, they've got the bullpen, and now they're gone.
Right.
So are the Cubs, is this a better matchup for the Cubs than the Padres?
I honestly think it is. I don't think.
Interesting.
I don't think that the Brewers are as overpowering. You know, the Cubs showed you yesterday that if you don't have good pitching, they're going to score enough runs. Their defense is excellent and their pitching is good enough. So I think that's the takeaway from that series. And I get it, home field matters, etc. But I think that this is such a familiar opponent that there's going to be no real surprise. You know exactly who can beat you and who can't beat you, and they know the same thing with you. And it's totally different than it was with San Diego. It's going to be fun.
It will be fascinating theater and the managerial matchup as good as it gets.
I mean, two friends. Now, it's beautiful. It's beautiful stuff. It's real baseball stuff. Should be a lot of fun, and it starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Right here.
Game one, right here on the Score.
That's
108
right.
First pitch, 12:30 pregame. Game two, Monday, 7:30 pregame with the first pitch of 8:08.
Yeah, it's really going to be something, and, you know, it's just going to be great starting tomorrow here on the Score. Where else? only place to be. We're going to get to your phone calls next. 312-644-6767. We have a lot of people who want to check in already. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.